end quote. This is an example of what Dogchen Chang labels an interculturated form of chinoiserie, depicting Chinese motifs, but not Chinese reality, in a relatable British context. In addition to willow pattern porcelain, books of photographs from China were extremely trendy in the late 19th century. They offered armchair travelers carefully chosen images to demonstrate various socio-political attitudes and viewpoints. Among these was the notion of China's stasis in the distant past and the country's unwillingness to modernize except when the West forced it to do so. Collections from Isabella Lucy Bird, John Thompson, and James Rickleton were among the most widespread. Another genre in which the construction of the Chinese took place with full force was popular musical theater. Two shows that originated at Daly's Theater in London were especially significant in this identity formation during the final decade of the 19th century: The Geisha from 1896 and San Toy from 1899. In The Geisha, which takes place in Japan, the sole Chinese character is Wun He, the owner of a tea house, who sings and speaks in pidgin English with clipped articulations. In the imagined China of San Toy, characters who endorse Western views sing glorious melodic lines reminiscent of Gilbert and Sullivan and comic opera, while those who do not sound like Wun He in The Geisha. In this theatrical version of chinoiserie, China is evoked through visual, textural, and performative cues more than inherently musical ones. The Geisha and San Toy are emblematic products of the Daly's theater enterprise, managed and produced under the creative eye of George Edwards. Edwards mounted 5 shows with scores by Sidney Jones at Daly's Theater during the 1890s: A Gaiety Girl, An Artist's Model, The Geisha, A Greek Slave, and San Toy. All 5 shows are examples of the notoriously difficult to define genre of musical comedy. In the 1890s British sense of the genre, specifically how it was practiced at Daly's, aspects of comic opera, such as fanciful stories, nearly operatic singing, and multi-part ensembles, are melded with dimensions from burlesque and music hall, including improvisation and ethnic-based performance styles. This amalgamation resulted in a musical entertainment with broad popular appeal. Edwards, whose prior experiences included working for Richard Doyle Carte at the Savoy Theater and also managing the Gaiety Theater, knew how to negotiate the space between comic opera and more fluid musical theater genres. He used this liminality to create a particular brand of musical comedy at Daly's when he became its manager in 1895. The shows Edwards produced at Daly's exuded opulence and romantic sentimentality while remaining steadfastly rooted in the everyday. When it comes to creating fanciful imaginings of East Asia in popular musical theater, Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado from 1885 remains the prime exemplar. Nearly a decade later, the Sino-Japanese War, 1894-95, shifted political relations in East Asia itself, as well as those between Japan, China, and European powers. The war came to represent the enfeeblement of China's Manchu-descended Qing dynasty and Japan's modernization along European lines after the Meiji Restoration. Significant outcomes included Japan's acquisition of Korea and the Liaodong Peninsula from China, the post-war triple intervention of Russia, France, and Germany, however, forced Japan to return the Liaodong Peninsula to China. Britain, notably, was not part of this European coalition, and this decision led to closer relations between Britain and Japan, and more strained ones between Britain and China. Thus, when the Geisha danced onto the stage at Daly's Theater on April 25, 1896, it promoted a pro-Japanese and anti-Chinese view of East Asia. Billed as a story of a tea house, the Geisha enjoyed an extremely long run of 760 performances in its initial production. Professional and amateur productions played throughout the world, either in English or in translation. The Geisha was first staged in Budapest in 1897, with several other productions following. Owen Hall's libretto for The Geisha revolves around several romantic relationships, all of which get sorted out at the end thanks to the quick thinking of the geisha Mimosa and direct British intervention through the actions of Lady Constance Wynne. Briefly, what happens is we have Mimosa, who is supposed to be Japanese. We have Reginald Fairfax, a British naval officer who comes to Japan. He's stationed there. He falls in love with Mimosa. And of course, what happens is his fiancée, Molly Seymour, comes from England looking for her fiancé. So we have this love triangle that gets humorously complicated. And then again, Mimosa solves everything. Woon Hee, the owner of the tea house where Mimosa works, is the only Chinese character in the show. He speaks in pidgin English, an ethnic characterization associated with Yellow Face and music hall. This distinguishes him from the Japanese characters, all of whom generally sing music in the more sophisticated vein associated with Gilbert and Sullivan, who at the time were already being coupled with notions of proper Britishness. Britain at the time was pursuing favorable trade relations with Japan, and through musical style, a shared cultural affinity was created between the two nations. For China, though, this characterization was different, as is evident in Woon Hee's song, Chin Chin Chinaman. Pidgin English, mispronounced R's and exaggerated E's, and a nasal sound all contribute to the negative caricature. Furthermore, the geisha appeared during the period leading up to the Boxer Rebellion, and fears about violent uprisings against missionaries and other Westerners in China were very real. A clip from this.
Chin chin China man, muchy muchy sad. Me afraid, all afraid, very, very bad. No he joke, broken broke, make it shabby shop. Chin chin China man, chop chop chop.
And then the chorus repeats that. More nuanced depictions of China and the Chinese appear in Santoy, which opened at Daly's on October 21st, 1899, and played for a stunning 768 performances. Like the geisha, it toured extensively, though it did not enjoy the popularity of its Japanese sibling. Santoy had its Budapest premiere in 1900. In the created China of Santoy, according to librettist Edward Morton, every noble daughter must join the emperor's all-female regiment, the emperor's own. Pinkapong's ruler, the Mandarin Yan Hao, evades this fate for his favorite daughter, Santoy, by having her raised as a boy. The student Fo Hop, however, discovers Santoy's gender and demands her hand in marriage for his silence. Yan Hao agrees, knowing that as long as no one knows that Santoy is really a girl, the marriage cannot take place. Naval Captain Bobby Preston, son of the British consul in China, has been teaching Santoy English, and knowing her gender, the two have fallen in love. The emperor issues a new edict that now all noble sons must join a new regiment, the empress's own, alongside the noble daughters. Santoy, resolving to be female, accompanies her still secret lover, Bobby, on a mission to Peking, along with her father, Yan Hao. Act two takes place in the emperor's palace. Santoy is introduced to the emperor, who promises her that she will be treated with great favor. The emperor soon decides that he wants to marry Santoy. Yan Hao, noticing this, dreams of becoming viceroy and bringing British culture to China. By the end, the emperor has decided to marry someone else. Yan Hao gives Santoy the choice of whom she will marry. She chooses Bobby, and Yan Hao becomes viceroy. Other characters in the show include Poppy, Bobby's sister, whose conventional romance with Lieutenant Harry Tucker provide a foil for the plot's primary relationship, Dudley, Poppy's maid, and Lee, Yan Hao's private secretary, a comic figure memorably played by Huntley Wright, who also created Woon Hee in The Geisha. An overriding theme in Santoy concerns westernization. Chinese characters who favor the West generally sing in a lyrical comic opera style, like the Japanese characters in the geisha, while those who do not resort to the clipped style, the Bunhees, Chin Chin, Chinaman. These differences in attitude and their musical portrayals are evident in the song Samey Gamey, in which Dudley and Lee explore differences between English and Chinese views of love. The two ultimately realize that love is never simple, regardless of culture. They each express concern about the other's perceived norm. Dudley regards Chinese polygamy as unfair, since a woman cannot have a complete man to herself, but only a fraction of him. Lee retorts that English monogamy can lead to divorce. Not incidentally, England loosened its divorce laws in 1885. The differences in viewpoint are accentuated in the differences in performance style. Dudley, being English, gets to sing her lines, while Lee, who is Chinese, only intones his, though he does sing in the refrain. Since he does not advocate Western norms, he refuses to speak or sing correct English. Sing of their disdain at being in China, and Lee reinterprets their complaints and tries to please them. While Pinkapong appeals to tourists, they don't enjoy living there and see it as backward, endorsing the views of the aforementioned photographic essays. The musical setting here harkens to minstrelsy, with its dotted figures, unaccented syncopations, instrumental interjections, and call and response figures. References to a banjo in the lyrics leading into the final chorus strengthen the connection, which is made blatantly and uncomfortably obvious in said final chorus, with references to cotton and Carolina. Blackface minstrelsy was present on London stages in the late 19th century, and the creators of Santoy drew upon this style to demonstrate how three British characters with racially superior attitudes felt about being in China. It also reflects the contradictory fear and attraction towards cultural otherness that Eric Locke has described in terms of minstrelsy, and which Derek B. Scott has tied into London minstrelsy practices. For Yan Hao, who is proud to be Chinese and advocates Western cultural practices, the musical stylization is different. We learn in his introductory number that he appreciates British ways, for he sings music in a Gilbert and Sullivan style. This part, importantly, was created expressly for Rutland Barrington, who created iconic Gilbert and Sullivan roles in HMS Pinafore, The Pirates of Penzance, and as Pooh-Bah in The Mikado. Six Little Wives is a rollicking romp in 6/8, featuring responsorial interjections from his six wives. But Yan Hao also shows that he is not wholly westernized, for he practices polygamy, and furthermore, once he kills off each of his six wives, he'll acquire a dozen new ones. Additionally, he is dishonest, having cheated on an exam by sewing answers into his clothing. Modernization along Western lines. Yen Hao offers his help should he become viceroy in his Act II semi-satirical song, I Mean to Introduce It to China. And to quote some lines, so I'll emulate the styles of the blessed British Isles, though the reason isn't easy to divine. But they do it in the West, so of course it must be best, and I mean to introduce it to China. End quote. This westernization plotline could allude to the actual Hundred Days Reform of 1898, during which the Guangxu Emperor tried to implement an extensive reform program with the aid of his Western-oriented viceroy, Lin Hongzhang, a model for Yan Hao's character in this regard. The plan did not succeed, for the Emperor's aunt, the Empress Dowager, put the Emperor under house arrest, where he remained until his death. In Santoy, China is also viewed as a commodity, and by extension, a means to middle-class British domestic life. In their lilting Act II duet, The Little China Maid, Santoy and Bobby both make references to porcelain. Bobby tells Santoy when she expresses concern about them being together, and I quote, you needn't feel afraid, for like a vase or cup, I'll pack you completely and label you neatly with China, this side up, unquote. He is certainly viewing her as a commodity. Later in the song, she expresses a concern, and I quote, but when you have me there entirely to yourself, you'll shatter your passion in porcelain fashion, or leave me on the shelf, end quote. He promises, in reference to the color of the plate, not to do so, and that he will always, quote, stick to Nankin blue, end quote. The final British view of the Chinese to be considered here comes from the Boxer Rebellion, or Boxer Uprising. This series of violent anti-foreign and anti-Christian demonstrations began on November 2nd, 1899, less than 2 weeks after the premiere of Santoy. The eight-nation alliance, which included Japan, the UK, and the US, defeated the Chinese in 1901, strengthening Japan's prestige in world affairs and further weakening the already enfeebled Qing dynasty. As a British musical set in China at the time of the Boxer Rebellion, it comes as no surprise that some Chinese characters exhibit violent tendencies. We heard a precursor of this in the geisha's Chin Chin China. The exemplar in Santoy is Fo Pop, the student who wants to marry Santoy. In his song, When You Were Wed to Me, he sings to his betrothed, quote, by being quite Chinese, each Western trick I ban was sharp and quick rattan, end quote. And what about the show's ending? Santoy, or China, decides to marry Bobby, the West. This interracial union at the end of Santoy could be interpreted as an allegory for the hope of an eventual reconciliation between China and Britain in terms of political and commercial diplomacy. The depiction of China in these two works offers a variety of approaches rooted in cultural attitudes and contemporary political situations. Characters who do not support Western views are generally relegated to performing in ethnic-based styles coming from music hall, while those who do sing lyrical melodies in proper English. No one sings any actual Chinese music, nor are any of the standard Orientalist identifiers employed. What does happen is that the anti-Western characters become villains of sorts for whom dishonesty becomes a character trait. This stereotype of the evil Chinese individual becomes further codified in Sax Rohmer's Fu Manchu novels of the early 20th century. But other characters do want to establish ties with the West, and in this world of popular musical theater, they demonstrate this affinity by singing in a lyrical style firmly in line with the respectability and moral fortitude associated with Gilbert and Sullivan. Thank you very much.